I have just a short devotional I'd like to share with you. The church family, you may have heard, laugh at that. They don't believe that I'm capable of a short devotional. But I really just have, I have three thoughts I'd like to share. Granted, each of those three thoughts has three sub-thoughts. But my mother is cooking Christmas dinner for us, and we do have to get to that also when this is over. So here out of Isaiah, I just want to share three thoughts, like I said, with you tonight. Tonight's devotional is a bit of a summary of the Christmas series that we've been doing here at Spokane Baptist called Quiet in the Middle of Chaos. So if you've been here, church family, for that, then hopefully this will be an encouraging and a helpful just high-level review of that. For many of you I know tonight, this will be your first time hearing some of this, and I genuinely believe that it's going to be helpful, and I'm praying that it's going to be a real encouragement also. If there is anything here that really jumps out at you and you'd like to hear more about it, all of these messages are available, of course, for free on our website. You'd be more than welcome to go listen to the full-length messages there. But let's pray, and then we'll just jump into the message here tonight. Heavenly Father God, we thank you again for tonight, for what it represents. Thank you for the love with which you have loved us. Lord, we are aware that we do not deserve it, and we are so grateful that even though you know everything there is to know about us, that you have loved us anyway. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming to save us. Lord, I pray that tonight, that you might just speak directly to every heart. God, every person here needs something just a little bit different from you. It's an overwhelming task for me. It'd be impossible for me to even try. But Lord, that's your work. You do this. So God, tonight, as we read these scripture verses and meditate on it a little bit, Lord, our earnest desire is just that you would speak directly to every heart and mind. That God, that you would change something. That when we leave tonight, we would leave having been changed because of having done some business with you. We pray that you use these next moments we have together towards that end. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text tonight is a simple one. It's only a verse long. But as I said, I have three things I'd like to share just quickly out of that. You'll notice as we look at the text again that it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, this is a uniquely wonderful birth. This prophecy in Isaiah is about a birth, but it's not any kind of an ordinary birth. It's a very unique birth. And it's a wonderful one. And I want to share just three things about why it's such a unique and wonderful birth quickly, if I could. First of all, this is a uniquely wonderful birth because it is an incredible fulfillment of prophecy. Hundreds and even thousands of years before he was born, Jesus' birth was predicted in the Bible. This passage that we just read in Isaiah 9:6 was written 700 years before Jesus was born in that manger. And here and in many other passages of the Bible, we have prophecies that have the exact details about Christ's birth and his life, the things he would do, who he would be. Some of these prophecies are so startling and so precise that skeptics for many years said that Christians must have inserted those things back into the Hebrew Bible after Christ. In fact, they said that until in 1947, they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, which definitively date these prophecies word for word to at least 200 years before Christ was born. So the birth of Jesus was no ordinary birth. It was the subject of exact and detailed prophecy, and it was miraculously fulfilled. This is also a uniquely wonderful birth because of what it is and what it represents, and what it means is God with us. One of the most wonderful names of God that we are given in the Bible is Emmanuel. It means literally God with us. Perhaps the most amazing part of this fulfilled prophecy is the fact of who the baby is. Of course, this is a very controversial idea. the Christian belief that Jesus Christ actually was God in the flesh, that Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us, it has always been a divisive idea. It's such an incredible claim. The claim to be God is, in fact, what got Jesus killed and nailed to an old rugged cross. But this idea of God in the flesh, I'd like to say to you tonight, was not cooked up by the disciples of Jesus. No, right here in our text, 700 years before the disciples had even been born, we read that this baby, this coming Messiah, would be the mighty God, the everlasting Father. There's no escaping the wonder and the miraculous nature of Jesus Christ, God with us. But thirdly, I'd like to show you tonight the part that I find the most personally miraculous, I think the most personally wonderful part of this, is not just that it's God with us, it's a demonstration of God come to rescue us, to rescue lost sinners. And pretty much every religion in the world, you will find the list of things that you need to do and the things you must not do in order to be accepted by God, in order to be good enough to go to heaven, to reach paradise or nirvana or whatever they might call it. But uniquely in Christianity, we find that rather than being told what we must do to reach God, we are shown what God did to reach us. The message of the Bible is that you cannot be good enough to go to heaven. It's true. People don't often say a loud amen to that. But listen, I want to tell you tonight, I would not be doing my job as a pastor. I would not be a genuine friend to you if I was not level with you about what the Bible plainly teaches. And that's this. You cannot be good enough to go to heaven. Nope, nobody can. The wages of our sin is death. The Bible says that we are going to face physical death because of our sin and then face the judgment of God in a very real place that the Bible calls hell. I don't like to talk about hell. It's not a very Christmassy subject. But Jesus said that it was a real place, and he begged people not to go there. Tonight, I'd like to beg you not to go there either. You don't have to. God with us is not just God with us. It's God come to rescue us. God came to rescue us. You. And this is the most wonderful part. Jesus did not just come here to help out the people that were already doing pretty good. He didn't just identify the best people or the ones that had their lives the most together so that he could save them. No. Jesus came for the poor and the blind and the sick and the despised, for the broken and for the lost. Mark chapter 2, verse 17, it's there in your notes. Jesus said to these self-righteous who thought they had their lives all put together, he said, Jesus saith unto them, they that are whole or well have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. When God came to earth, he descended. He did not descend in clouds of glory, surrounded by the heavenly host, wielding a flaming sword. He didn't even come in a palace. He wasn't even born to a wealthy or well-connected family. He came in a manger, surrounded by animals and shepherds, born into a poor family, because he came for the low and for the lost. He came to rescue lost sinners like me. The Bible says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. The government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The next two thoughts relate to this idea of peace at Christmas time. One of the names of Jesus is the Prince of Peace. I want you to note a couple of things about this Prince of Peace. Jesus came to bring peace even in a messy family. Sometimes we think of these things that rob us of peace. If we don't have peace in our lives, we think, well, the reason why is because there's such an enormous mess in my family. Tonight, I'd like you to know that Jesus was born into a messy family with a long history of mess. Mary and Joseph, all the whispers about the pregnancy before they were born, they were not very well received, even by their own family. The turmoil of having to travel to Bethlehem to pay their taxes. You look at his family tree, the things, Abraham and David and Jacob, you look at the lives of these men, tremendous messiness in their families. And this is the family that Jesus was born into. The Prince of Peace came into a messy family. Second of all, the Prince of Peace came into a world in turmoil. When God became flesh, he did not choose his timing to be a relatively peaceful time in history. He did not wait until things were relatively stable and calm and think, okay, I'll come now. Jesus was born into a world experiencing great upheaval and terrible turmoil. When the news was announced by the wise men that they'd come to seek him that was born king of the Jews, Jerusalem, the city that should have been most waiting for the Messiah's arrival, reacted with trouble because they were tired of all the chaos and the tumult, tired of Roman oppression, tired of the failed rebellions. The world's in turmoil and they didn't want any more of it. But that is the world in which the Prince of Peace came. And thirdly, the Prince of Peace came into the world in the middle of relentless busyness. It's amazing to me as I read the Christmas story about how busy all the people are. Even the priests who, when they ask them, hey, where's the Messiah going to be born? There's these wise men who have come from the east and they're looking for him. They get their Bibles and they say, oh, well, the prophecies are that he's in Bethlehem, but none of them go. Why? Probably because they were busy. The shepherds are busy watching their flocks at night. Mary and Joseph are busy. They can't stay at home and do the comfortable thing. They've got to go pay their taxes. Everybody is busy. Jesus was born surrounded by people busy with the demands of life. Tonight, I want you to know that the messiness in your family, the turmoil in the world around us, the relentless busyness that so often engulfs us, these are no barriers to the arrival of the Prince of Peace. And then finally tonight, the third thought I'd like to share with you is this phrase, unto us. It's repeated twice here in our verse. It says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. This is for you. It's such good news. This isn't just information. This isn't just knowledge. It's for you. Tonight, I'd like to challenge you, if I could, to move from just knowing about to knowing. It's wonderful to know about God, and it's even better if you know some things about Jesus. But I'd like to challenge you tonight that that's not sufficient. It's not enough to simply know about God or to know about Jesus. Rather, what we are called to is to know him. Do you know him tonight? I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 91:2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Is he your Jesus? He can be. He wants to be. John 3:16, maybe the most famous verse in the Bible, for good reason, reminds us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. You don't have to perish, but rather have everlasting life. And you don't have to earn this. There's not a punch card here at church. You come here 10 times and you get 10 punches in your card and now you have a ticket to heaven. It's not how it works. There's no amount of money you have to give, no amount of good works you have to do. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, the Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Saved from sin, saved from death, saved from hell. You can be saved all the way if you'll trust Christ. For those of you here tonight who say, yeah, I do know Jesus. He is my Savior. He is my God and my fortress. In him I trust. If that's you, I want you to know that you can have peace in a messy family. Not only does the Prince of Peace come into a messy family, but as we follow his word, if you'll do the things that God says, he'll supply peace even into a messy family. I wish that sometimes, I've wished that when you got saved, that when you trusted Christ as your Savior, that all of a sudden everything just got calm. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That'd be super good. But you know what would happen? People would trust Jesus to calm things down in their family. They want the peace in the family, not Jesus. So that's not the way that works. Even us Christians, even me, there's a lot of mess sometimes in the family. And God, I've sometimes wondered, I've said, like, Lord, why can't you fix some of these things? Why can't you just make it a little bit easier, a little more comfortable? And sometimes the Lord does that. But mostly my experience is that he doesn't. But he does something better. Better than fixing the mess. He gives peace even in the middle of the mess. And he wants to give that to you too. In our sermon series, we looked at some of the ways in which, as we trust God and do what he says, God supplies that peace even into a messy family. Tonight, I just want to remind you, church family, or for those of you that are new tonight, just give you these thoughts. One of the ways that God supplies peace, even when you have a messy family, is by making sure you spend some time with other believers. Congratulations on being here tonight. I'm glad. I think this will be an encouragement to you. Hopefully, you're going to walk away tonight, and before you go deal with all those messy people, not you, of course, those other messy people, you're going to go there with an extra measure of peace from having spent some time with other believers. The other thing that we see in the Bible story is taking time to sing praises. Mary, when she found out that she was pregnant, and even Joseph at first didn't believe her, and none of the rest of the family apparently believed her, she went and spent time with Elizabeth. She spent time with some other believers, and she took time to sing praises to the Lord. It'll do something for you if you sing praises to the Lord. It'll do something for you. And then we see that Mary and Joseph both, even with all the mess in their family, they arose and they did whatever God had said. The Bible says after the angel spoke to Joseph and said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, Joseph arose and he took Mary as his wife. Sometimes there's not peace even in our messy families because we're hesitating from doing something God's asked us to do. Is there something God's asked you to do? You should do it. You'll have more peace. Secondly, God provides peace even in the middle of a world in turmoil. I've been praying a lot lately about some of the craziness. Maybe some of you have noticed, but it's a wee bit crazy out there. I lost track of how many weeks of slowing the spread we were on. The world's upside down out there. It's a mess. You can have peace. You can have peace no matter who's in the White House. You can have peace no matter who the governor is. You can have peace no matter what laws get passed, no matter what's going on in your neighborhood. God has peace for that. Primarily, the way we access that peace is two things. We heed God's warnings. You know, the Bible's filled with warnings. Watch out for this. Beware of that. How seriously do you take those things? If you take them seriously and change course, you'll get some more peace. The wise men, you'll recall, Herod said, come back to me when you found the baby Jesus. But God spoke to them and said, don't go back to Herod. And so they listened. They didn't go back to Herod. They left by another route. And that was the right decision that they made. God will help you too. There are plenty of warnings that if you listen, God will help you. That's right. Amen. All right. And then finally, trust God to keep his promises. Nothing has ever given me, I don't think, greater peace in my life than just realizing this very simple thing. God keeps his promises. He doesn't always do what I want him to do. He rarely does what I tell him to do. There are things I wish God had promised, like that my life might be easier, or that there might always be healing for the sick, or that things might be more comfortable. But those are not promises in the Bible. But there are other promises that frankly are even better. God promises forgiveness. He promises a home in heaven. He promises joy. He promises peace. Peace that passes understanding. And you can have it. And the more you trust him to keep those promises, the more peace you'll have while you wait. And finally, God supplies peace even in the middle of relentless busyness. I find that one of the best ways that he does this, and we see this in the Christmas story also, is that sometimes you just need to adjust your priorities. It's a wild thing when we read the Christmas story and we see that Mary and Joseph, there's no room for them in the inn. They come and here's this pregnant lady. And today we wonder if the inn was maybe the guest room in a house or if it was an inn more like we think of. And frankly, it doesn't make much of a difference. How come the pregnant lady didn't get the room? Somebody's priorities are not right. The shepherds, the night shift shepherds, they had a priority, take care of the sheep. But when the angel came and said, guess what? There's been a Savior born. And the news must have struck the shepherds very differently than it would have struck the rich or the high or the mighty to find out that this baby, this king, this Messiah, was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The truth of that adjusted the shepherds' priorities and they left the sheep and they said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing. Maybe in the middle of your relentless busyness, God would speak to you about adjusting some priorities. Often that's the pathway to peace. As a part of that, I want to just say two things about that. Are you making any effort to keep? The Bible tells us that Mary, after the shepherds had come, says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Are you making any time to keep? If I said, God's been good, you would probably all say amen. God's been so good to us, so many blessings. But how many of them from how long ago do you remember? I've had moments in my life, and maybe I've had too, where you start to think, God doesn't care. I feel like he's abandoned me. I'll tell you, when I've had those thoughts, I've often thought not only that God has abandoned me, but that he made the right call. Sometimes I get so low, I think, God's right to have just moved on. But the big problem with that is not that God has moved on, because he's not. He's promised to be with us, even in the valley of the shadow of death. I'll tell you, the problem is that I have forgotten. So years ago, I started a little book. I'm an awful, awful journaler. So bad. But I started a little one. And I write some of my biggest answers to prayers in it. And when I get to feeling really low and really forgotten, I get that thing out and I look at it. And I can't get more than 3 or 4 lines into it before I'm singing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a Savior. Because he's been so good to me. Are you making time to keep? God will give you some more peace if you do. And the Bible says that Mary kept all these things and she pondered them in her heart. Is there any time in your life where you ponder? The word ponder literally means to bring together. So much is going on. There's so much busyness. There's so many things that happen. Do you ever take any time to put the pieces together a little bit? It's important. You might even just do it while you're driving the car. Maybe just shut the radio off and take some time to ponder. You have peace even in the middle of relentless busyness if we'll make time to keep and ponder, adjust our priorities. I love this story. I love Christmas. I love what it means. I'm so glad that you're here tonight. We're going to do one of my favorite things, which is we're going to light the candles. One of the things that I always say, if you've got your candles, go ahead and get them ready. I'm going to close with the word of prayer in just a moment. But one of the things I like about lighting the candles and singing is it's a reminder that big things can start small. I don't know where you're at with God. I don't know what you think about Jesus tonight. But I ask you, wherever you're at in your walk with him, would you make some time to ponder what the next steps with him might be? How you might walk more closely with him. If you'd like to talk to somebody about it, you sure grab any of us. We'd love to take a Bible and spend some time with you when the service is over. Because there's good news. You're not alone. God came to rescue. Unto us, unto you. child is born. Unto you a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. We thank you for these scripture verses. We thank you, God, that you came to rescue us. Lord, I pray that every person here would not just know about you, but know you. Thank you that you are the Prince of Peace, that you give peace even in the middle of turmoil, even in the middle of messy families, even in the middle of busyness. We pray you'd help us to walk closely with you to take advantage of that peace. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you're able to stand, do we stand for this? I don't even remember. Yeah, if you're able to stand, why don't you do that? Well, we're going to turn the lights off and the usher's going to come down center aisle. Let's sing Silent Night together while we light the candles and sing.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender. Oh.